I want to draw our attention to the fact that this coming Thursday, as Patricia mentioned, we'll be remembering Ascension Day. In the past, of course, many, many years ago, we used to have a holiday on Ascension Day, and it was easy for us to remember it. But these days, it just comes and goes, because it's just like a normal day of the week in many ways for us. And so I want to just to remind us of that. We're going to look at it tonight and on Wednesday night at our Bible study as well. And I've entitled my message this morning, The Implication of the Ascension. The story is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the book of Acts. It's not found in John's Gospel, but let me read the different accounts of it for us. Matthew 28 says, Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Mark 16 says, After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Luke's version says, When he had led them out into the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. The fullest account is found in Acts chapter 1. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, says this, In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all the things Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised when you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, he asked them, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, It's not for you to know the time or the dates the Father set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, Why do you stand up here looking to the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. What are the implications of Jesus' ascension on us as Christians? Friends, of course, when Jesus was on earth, the disciples really enjoyed the fact that they could be in his presence, they could be with him at all points in time. But there are a number of implications the ascension puts on us as believers and put on those early disciples as well. And I want to remind us of those and why they're so important even for us to this day. The first implication, friends, is that the ascension of the Lord Jesus forces us to live by faith. You know, while Jesus was amongst the disciples, it was easy to follow him. He was right there. Where Jesus went, they went. You know, a little bit like that when you're at weddings and you're singing a song and you're all dancing and going after each other like that. That's what the disciples were doing. That's who they were. They were the followers of Jesus. Where Jesus went, they went. But friends, all of a sudden, they weren't so sure. Look what it says. Matthew 28, 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains where Jesus had told them. They saw him and worshipped him, but some doubted. In many ways, friends, that is faith. Faith is a combination of doubt and trust. Can you be 100% sure? Yes, friends, you can. Are you 100% sure? Probably not. And that kind of tension between doubt and assurance, friends, is what I believe is faith. We know who Jesus is. We've kind of know the history of Jesus. We know he's impacted our lives. But friends, even the disciples who had spent 3.5 years with Jesus, who had heard the teachings of Jesus, who had seen the death of Jesus, who had seen the resurrection of Jesus, who experienced the reality of Jesus with them after his resurrection, friends, tells us some of them doubted. Friends, living a life of faith is not an easy life, because sometimes you will have doubts. Sometimes you won't be 100% sure. Lord, you know, help our unbelief, we often pray. We believe, Lord, but help our unbelief. Because, friends, that is what living by faith is all about. And that's what the ascension has done. The ascension of Jesus, friends, took Jesus away from the disciples. They were no longer following him in person. Now they had to follow him and the teaching that he had given to them while he was with them. Friends, are you living by faith? Every time we remember the ascension, friends, we are forced to face the fact, friends, that Jesus isn't amongst us anymore. In the illustration I was using with the children, you know, Jesus isn't a solid anymore. Jesus is a spirit now. And while we know that Jesus is there, we don't see him. And friends, that is the tension that we have to live since the ascension. But friends, one day Jesus is coming again. And we will see him face to face. Number two, the ascension of the Lord places on us the responsibility of spreading the gospel. You see, while Jesus was on earth, friends, he preached about the kingdom of God. He preached about, he spoke about the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like that. The kingdom of God is like this, friends. And right throughout the life of Jesus, Jesus was telling his disciples about the kingdom of God. But now, friends, he goes away. Look what he says. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples. One of the passages tells us Jesus had taught them about the kingdom of God. Now he empowers them to go and tell others about the kingdom of God. That passage of scripture that we know as the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples. I was looking through a number of different Bible translations, friends, and almost every one of them translates those verses, therefore, go and makes disciples except one. It's called the analytical literal translation of the Bible. And the analytical, which means it's kind of, try to understand the meaning of the word. And literal means it's taken the word that is there and translated it literally. The analytical translation of this particular verse says, when you have gone, make disciples. It's not therefore go, although most of us understand that to be a command. The verse actually is saying, friends, when you have gone, it's not giving us an option. There's no option as to whether you want to tell others about Jesus, friends. That's why it's called the Great Commission. Jesus has given us the command, go and make disciples. And friends, that's why the responsibility of spreading the kingdom of God, friends, there's a responsibility of spreading the message of the gospel has been put on the shoulders of the church. And that's us. The resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, friends, makes it imperative for us to continue the work of Jesus. We don't have an option. The question, friends, is if we're not doing it, what are we doing? When you tell your child, if you have a child, to do something and they don't, what do you call that? Disobedience, don't you? Disobedience. And friends, when Jesus gives us a command, and he said he had taught us about the kingdom of God, and then he gives us command, therefore go, which literally means when you have gone, tell others. If we're not telling others about Jesus, friends, what are we doing? Why are we acting? The Bible is pretty clear. If you're not telling others about Jesus, you are being disobedient. That's what the ascension, the implication of the ascension is, friends. Jesus is in heaven, friends. Jesus has given us that job, given us that wonderful responsibility. Yes, he's coming again. But till he comes again, friends, we have the responsibility to tell others about Jesus. Number three, the ascension of the Lord. Third implication is the ascension of the Lord Jesus guarantees authority from the highest source. Now, during this last week, I'm sure we all watched the encounter between our president and the president of the United States of America, didn't we? Certainly been the topic of discussion. Everybody's talking about what happened there. Everybody kind of has their own opinion as to what they think happened and what actually happened. But you know, when those two people came together, although they came as individuals, a President Ramaphosa and a President Trump, the reality is they came together because of the authority of the office they hold. President Ramaphosa, friends, is just a man. He's just a man with weaknesses and failings. Just like President Trump is just a man with all of his weaknesses and all of his brashness and all those things that he is. But when they meet in the Oval Office, President Trump is there representing the people of America, and President Ramaphosa is there representing the people of South Africa. They don't go in their own authority. They go in the authority that they have been commissioned with to make those discussions and have those discussions. But us, when we go out, friends, whose authority do we go in? Listen to what the verse says. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go." What authority do we have? Listen to what it says in Mark. After the Lord Jesus Christ had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of the Father. Friend, there is nobody on earth, nobody on earth that has greater authority than a Christian who is operating under the name of Jesus. There is nothing we need to fear. There is no power. There is no authority. There is no government. There is no spiritual being, friends, greater than the authority that Jesus has. Because he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he said, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me." It's not a debate, friends. It's not going to be replaced. In a few years' time, President Ramaphosa will be replaced by somebody else. In a few years' time, President Trump will be replaced by somebody else. But Jesus, friends, will never be replaced. He has all authority. And when we go out in his name, friends, we go out with the authority of the highest office possible. That's the message of the ascension, friends. When we think of Jesus going into heaven, he's gone to be at the right hand of God. What encouragement that is for us. Number four. Fourth implication is the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, sets the tone of the church for all eternity. Listen to this verse. Luke says, "When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted his hand and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he was taken from them into the heaven, and they worshipped, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they continued at the temple, praising God." Friends, when Jesus went to heaven, the tone of the church's message was set forever. Now, we all know that President Trump's call with his cap is the word MAGA. Make America great again. Well, the word that is here is the disciples returned with mega joy. It's not MAGA joy. It's mega joy. It means that they were totally filled with the joy of the Lord. Friends, that's what we should be doing. That's how we should be living. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 1. "Men of Galilee," Jesus said, the angel said, "Why are you standing there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you will come back, and in the same way you have seen him going into heaven." Friends, the Christian's life, friends, is the tone of the Christian's life is set by the ascension. It starts in joy and it ends in joy. It starts with the joy of the Lord. It doesn't matter what comes our way, friends, whether it be persecution or trials or temptations, whatever may come our way, friends, when we go out in the implication of the ascension, friends, we go out with joy. The word is charis. It's similar to grace. Friends, when the early church met, when Christians came together, when they greeted each other, they would say to each other, "Perhaps today." That was the way they greeted each other in the early church. Whenever they met, they would look at each other in excitement and say, "Perhaps today Jesus is coming." And that's why, friends, they could live with joy. Didn't matter what happened, friends, because the ascension, friend, guaranteed the return. In the same way Jesus went, he's going to come back. And friends, our focus as believers is on that reality. Perhaps today Jesus will come again. What great joy that is for us, friends. Doesn't matter what you're facing, Christian. Doesn't matter where you are in life. Never forget, friends, Jesus is coming again. Perhaps it'll be today. Perhaps while we're even sitting here, we'll be transported into the heavens to be with Jesus forever and ever. Surely, if we're going to be with Jesus forever and ever, we might as well start being happy now. There's so many sad Christians, aren't there? Why are you sad, Christian? There's only one reason for you to be sad, is you've taken your eyes off Jesus, friend. If you wanna be reminded about what's important in life, keep your eyes on Jesus, and he will fill you with joy as you go through this life. And then finally, the implication, fifth implication of the ascension, friends, is the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ provides a permanent presence with us. You know, when Jesus was on earth, he could only be in one place. We're discovering that, Patricia and I are discovering that. We were in Joburg last weekend. We were in Joburg yesterday. We'll be back in Joburg next week. In 2 weeks' time, we'll be back in Joburg. It's kind of tiring, up and down and traveling and all, you know. But the sad reality is, friends, we can only be in one place at one time. Our hearts there with our son and the arrangements for the wedding. But our presence is here because this is where we need to be. But not so Jesus, friends. When Jesus left, what did he say? He said, "I will be with you always." Mark says, "And the Lord worked with them." Yes, he was in heaven, friends, but Jesus continued to work with the disciples. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that the Father has promised, which you heard me speak about." And they received the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You see, friends, while Jesus was on earth, he was limited to one place. But by ascending into heaven, he's not limited any longer, friends. He's no longer a solid, he's now a spirit. And as a spirit, friends, God can be everywhere at all times in every single place. He can be with us. If you think of it in the terms of marriage, and I've been thinking a lot about marriage, as you can imagine, as I'm preparing to officiate at the service of my son. When we get married, we say to each other, I will be with you. I'll be with you. But then we have to add, till death do us part. Till death do us part. Friends, we'll be with you till death do us part. You know, the beautiful thing about a relationship with Jesus is he says, I will be with you, and when death parts you, you will continue to be with me. Isn't that fantastic? Friends, death doesn't separate us from Christ. Death gives us a whole different experience of who Jesus is. That's what the ascension was all about. Jesus says, I'm going into heaven and sending you a part of myself, the Holy Spirit. But one day I'm coming to take you. It may be in the rapture or the ascension, or whether it may be through death, but it doesn't matter. Because even while you may leave this earth, you will still be with me, and I will be with you. Friends, the ascension provides us with the permanent presence of Jesus Christ. We're never forsaken, never abandoned, never left. He is with us now as he will be with us for all eternity. The implication of the ascension, friends, it forces us to live by faith. It gives us the responsibility of telling others about Jesus. It guarantees that when we do, we go out in the authority of the highest name. Friends, it helps us live life as life is meant to live, full of joy. But the most wonderful thing is, friends, when Jesus left, he said, I will be with you till the end of the age. Friends, the age doesn't end with Jesus, because Jesus is the age of ages. He lives forever and ever. There's no limit to how long we will be with Jesus and he will be with us. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for going.